This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, we continue our study of what the Bible teaches about homosexuality. And we're glad that you have continued to stay with the Bible program. This is a very popular topic today. There are more and more people engaging in it. What's important is, what does the Bible say? If you were to talk with your friends about this topic, what would you say to them? Would you be saying what the Bible says about the matter? And so we want to continue looking at part two of this particular study. If you missed part one last Saturday, we would encourage you to pick that up on our website, wbcoc.org. That's wbcoc.org. And we post all of the Let the Bible Speak programs there. If you miss any of them, you can go back and listen to them, and we would be glad for you to visit us there online, and there's other good material that you might enjoy studying as well. WBCOC.org. That stands for the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We meet at 290 Warfield Boulevard. Also, come worship with us. Come visit us. Come study the Bible with us. We'd be glad to have you. You would be our honored guest. In part one of this series on the Bible and homosexuality, we looked at some introductory matters to the subject of homosexuality in general, and just noticed how popular it is in our nation and around the world. And then we began to look at what the Bible teaches about it. And in both Testaments, the Old and New Testament, of course, God is against homosexuality. And we will eventually be getting to some arguments that people make in favor of homosexuality, and some even try to twist the Bible to condone homosexuality. Of course, that cannot be properly done. We can certainly twist the Bible, but we cannot reasonably and rationally do that with the clear teaching that is given in the Word of God. So we began looking last week at the Old Testament, and we want to continue that this morning and get on into the New Testament as well. We looked at, in the patriarchal period, before the law of Moses, in Genesis chapter 19, verses 5 through 7, there were homosexuals in the city of Sodom, where Lot lived, and they were doing wickedly there. And Jude comments on that and makes it very clear that the problem with these men was not being inhospitable, as some people say. The problem was their actual homosexual activity. Jude verse 7, speaking of the homosexuals in Sodom, he says that they were committing fornication and gone after strange flesh. And so he makes it clear that it's talking about a sexual relationship. So we looked at Genesis chapter 19, verses 5 through 7. And then, beginning in the period of the law of Moses, some laws given there, for example, Leviticus 18:22 and Leviticus 20, verse 13, that a man shall not lie with a man. God calls it an abomination, and it was punishable by death. So let's pick up in the period of the law of Moses with Judges chapter 19, if you want to turn over there. Judges chapter 19 and verse 22. There's an older man in the city of Gibeah who takes in a wayfaring stranger, is passing through his town. And when the men of the city, some of them, see this man going into lodge with the older man, they want to have a sexual relationship with him. It's basically the same type of setting that we had in Genesis 19, 5 through 7. Two angels came to stay with Lot, and the men of the city come to Lot's house, and they want to have a sexual relationship with these angels that came to stay with Lot. And it's the same thing here. And we pick up the reading in Judges chapter 19 and verse 22. As they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain base fellows, beset the house round about, beating at the door. And they spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came into thy house, that we may know him. And remember that we made the point, to know someone is an Old Testament expression of have a sexual relationship. We know that, for example, from Genesis 4, 1 and following, that Adam knew his wife and she conceived and bare Cain. And so to know someone is to know them sexually, sexual intercourse. And they want to do that. Bring him out that we may know him. And the man, the master of the house, went out and said unto them, No, my brethren, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man is come into my house, do not this folly. So notice, first of all, they're called base fellows. These are individuals who do not have morals. They're immoral and base. Do not wickedly, do not this folly. So clearly the old man in the house understands the law of Moses and that this would be wrong. Verse 24, behold, here is my daughter, a virgin, and his concubine, them will I bring out now, and humble ye them, and do with them what seemeth good unto you, but unto this man do not any such folly. So he was trying to avoid homosexuality, but he was promoting fornication, which is no better, we might add. In God's eyes, it's no better, it's no different. But he said, well, have a sexual relationship with these women, but not the men. Verse 25, but the men would not hearken to him. So the man laid hold on his concubine and brought her forth unto them, and they knew her. They had a sexual relationship with her. So what's interesting about this is these men we would describe as bisexual. They would have a sexual relationship with both a man or a woman, and abused her all the night until the morning, and when the day began to spring, they let her go. Then came the woman in the dawning of the day and fell down at the door of the man's house where her lord was till it was light. And her lord rose up in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way. And he beheld the woman, his concubine, was fallen down at the door of the house with her hands upon the threshold. And he said unto her, Up, let us be going. But none answered. Then he took her up upon his ass, and the man rose up and gat him into his place. She was dead. And this was an abuse. The man said, Take her and humble her. The text says that they abused her all night. This is wrong, and it's an abuse. It's a humiliation. It's wrong. So they wanted a homosexual relationship. They got a rape relationship. And that's wrong, too. We're talking about evil and base men. We turn over to the book of Kings, and there are different places in the book of Kings where sodomites are mentioned. We see this going back to Deuteronomy 23:17, that there's not to be any sodomites in the land. Sodomy, of course, is homosexual intercourse. It comes from the city of Sodom, mentioned in Genesis 19, and the homosexuals there. And we find in the book of Kings different places where there were sodomites in the land. And so obviously Leviticus 18:22 and Leviticus 20:13 was not being practiced. The law of Moses was not being upheld. They were to be put to death. And so there's sodomites living in the land. And we can see a few occasions of this in the reign of Rehoboam, 1 Kings 14, verse 24, and there were also sodomites in the land. They did according to all the abominations of the nations which Jehovah drove out from before the children of Israel. Notice that they're doing abomination. We won't even call it what God called it in Bible times. We promote it. We encourage it. We talk about homosexuality, or we talk about a same-sex relationship or a loving relationship or an alternative lifestyle or a different sexual orientation, a gay lifestyle. We won't call it what the Bible calls it, and that is an abomination. When we redefine sin, when we sugarcoat sin and downplay sin, then the devil has his way, and we're just playing into his hands. We need to call homosexuality what it is. You can turn over to chapter 15 and verse 12. Chapter 15 and verse 12. In the days of Asa, and he did put away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his father had made. And if this put away is matching the law of Moses in Leviticus 20:13 and Deuteronomy 23:17, then it would be putting them away in the sense of putting them to death, not just moving them to some other location. Look at 1 Kings 22:46. 1 Kings 22:46. In the days of Jehoshaphat, and the remnant of the Sodomites that remained in the days of his father Asa, he put away out of the land. Turn over to 2 Kings 23 and verse 7. In the case of the great reforms of Josiah, 2 Kings 23 verse 7, he put the Sodomites out of the land. And what's interesting is, look at this, and he break down the houses of the Sodomites that were in the house of Jehovah, where the women wove hangings for the Asherah, that is, the false gods. They were in the house of Jehovah, the houses of the Sodomites that were in the house of Jehovah, or the temple. They had been allowed to live there, stay there. Obviously, people, before this reform of Josiah, those who claimed to be God's people were condoning it, encouraging it, giving them a place to stay. They were not against it. They were not upholding the law. And so that's what happens when we stop upholding God's law. In time, we just get comfortable with things that previously we would have said no to. Now we're just comfortable with it, and we're in fact encouraging it. Sure, stay in the temple, you homosexual men, and we'll give you a place to stay there. The great abomination that was being committed. And Josiah stood up and was willing to reform that and get rid of that, along with other things. Other idolatry is mentioned there. People worshiping the sun, moon, and stars. Verse 10, people were passing their children through the fire. And all kinds of terrible things. And he wants to clean house, spiritually speaking. Get rid of all of this that is wrong. Would we have the spiritual courage and fortitude to do something like that today? So clearly in the Old Testament, from Genesis down through these passages in Kings, we find that homosexuality, sodomy, is condemned by God. Let's turn now to the New Testament. We turn to Romans chapter 1. We'll look at some things in the writing of the Apostle Paul. The position that God has toward homosexuality does not change when you come to the New Testament. Paul, one of Jesus' apostles. Sometimes people say, well, Jesus never spoke anything specifically about homosexuality. He chose his apostles, and he sent the Holy Spirit to guide them into all the truth. They are speaking on his behalf. And so when Jesus' apostles are speaking, they're speaking for Jesus. Jesus upheld marriage between a man and a woman. Jesus spoke specifically about the proper use of marriage. Secondly, Jesus condemned fornication, which is a word that includes all sexual immorality, which would include homosexuality. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 21. So number one, he upheld marriage in Matthew chapter 19, 4 through 6, between one man and one woman. Number two, he condemned fornication or sexual immorality, which includes homosexuality, Mark 7, verse 21. And number three, he sent his apostles, guided by the Holy Spirit, into all the truth to preach and write and record against homosexuality specifically. And we see it in the pen of the Apostle Paul. So turn with me to Romans chapter 1. So yes, Jesus condemned homosexuality. In Romans chapter 1, we read a very sad picture of people who don't want to have God in their lives. And it starts back in verse 18, but we'll pick up the writing in verse 24. Romans 1, 24, wherefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts. Notice that what we're about to read here in a minute begins in the heart, lusting and desiring in the heart unto uncleanness. What we're talking about is not good. It's unclean, what the Old Testament called an abomination, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves, using their body in a sexual way and in other ways that's dishonorable. It's not honorable. Verse 25, for that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. What we're about to read is a lie. It's not true. And God determines what is true and false, what is right and wrong, good and bad, good and evil, right and wrong, black and white. God determines that, not mankind. And so there's truth. It's called the truth of God. Truth comes from God ultimately. But what we're about to read about, this lifestyle, this homosexual lifestyle and other terrible things, is a lie. And worshipped and served the creature themselves and things that they made rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So this lifestyle that we're about to read about in the next two verses is something that we want to do. Homosexuality is what man wants, serving their lusts, verse 24, doing their uncleanness, being dishonorable, following a lie, and worshiping and serving what they want. That's the background to this homosexuality that we're about to read in verse 26. All of that leads to sinful lifestyles. And so from verse 26 down through verse 32, we have a list of those who engage in sinful things. And it's even wrong to consent with that, verse 32, even though we don't engage in it ourselves. Don't consent with a homosexual lifestyle or other things. But it comes from leaving God. And so what does it lead to? Verse 26, for this cause, God gave them up. God is not going to stand in your way and physically force you and keep you from engaging in homosexuality or any other sin. You have a free will. You can do that, and God will let you do that if that's what you want. It's not right, and He'll punish you for it, but He's not going to physically or miraculously keep you from doing sinful things. For this cause, what cause? Well, what we've just been reading about in verses 24 and 25. The person who leaves God has lust in their heart to uncleanness, dishonors their body, exchanges the truth of God for a lie, worships and serves themselves and things they make. For all of that, that cause, God is going to give you up to do what you want. And what does Paul call it? Vile passions. Passions of dishonor. For their women changed the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working unseemliness, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was due. You're going to receive, you're going to get what you ask for when you engage in homosexuality. And one of the things that has come about as a result of that is AIDS and other sexually transmitted diseases. And people don't like to talk about that. When it first came out, people did, but people don't like to talk about that. But you're going to, when you make a choice against God, you're going to receive a recompense. You're going to reap what you sow. And it causes other problems, emotional and psychological, other than just physical problems. But Paul calls it a vile passion, number one. Number two, Paul says that when a woman is with a woman and a man is with a man, it's against nature. There's a natural use between a man and a woman sexually, and that in a proper marriage relationship. Biologically, physically, the man and woman fit together in the sexual union. And emotionally, socially, spiritually, God made one man, Adam, and one woman. That's what God made. That is the natural use. And you may have heard it said before that God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. That's been said before. But it's true. God did not make another man for Adam. He made a woman. And that's the natural use. Anything else, woman with woman, man with man, is against that natural use that God made all the way back in the Garden of Eden. It's not normal. It's not an alternative lifestyle that is normal. It's alternative to God's word. That's certainly true. It's not a loving relationship, because true love does not act in that way. It acts according to the way God would want a man and a woman to act. It's against nature. Now, God's not going to physically stop you from doing that. But when you do that, go all the way down to verse 32, you're worthy of death, and God will judge you for that. So Romans chapter 1, 26 and 27 mentions it. Paul also mentions it in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 and 10. Let's turn over there. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. Paul is talking about the conversion of the Corinthians. Paul had been in Corinth preaching in Acts chapter 18. And he's looking back on this conversion of theirs. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, "Or know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Let's just stop right there. Before we read the next verse, Paul is talking about unrighteous behavior, that which is not right according to God, and you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot be in the church, in fellowship with God, and you cannot be with God in heaven, the heavenly kingdom. You cannot inherit that. You will not be a part of that. That statement right there, I realize, would be considered very mean toward homosexuals. But I'm not saying it. Paul, the Apostle Paul, is saying it. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, that's any sexual immorality. And if you're listening this morning and you engage in that or have engaged in that, you need to get out of that sin. Somebody says, "Well, I'm not a homosexual, but I have sex with my girlfriend all the time." Or, "I have sex with someone who's married and their spouse doesn't know about it." Fornication is any sexual immorality, which would include that. And then Paul says, "Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers." If someone you're having sex with, yourself or somebody else, is properly married to somebody else, you're committing adultery. So somebody says, "Well, I'm not a homosexual, but I sleep around, so I'm okay." Paul says, "No, that's wrong too." Sexual immorality is rampant today. It's everywhere. And there may be somebody listening to me this morning that is or has engaged in that. You need to stop that and obey the gospel and have your sins washed away in baptism. You cannot inherit the kingdom of God with that in your life. And then Paul goes on to say, "Nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men." The King James Standard says homosexuals. "Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. He lists it twice in just a few verses. Twice he makes it clear, you cannot be, I cannot be in the kingdom of God and do this. So notice he mentions homosexuals in verse 9. Now, the positive thing about this is they stopped that behavior. When Paul came in Acts chapter 18 and preached the gospel, we're told that some hearing, believed, were baptized. They came out of that lifestyle, they stopped it. So in the next verse, 1 Corinthians 6:11, Paul writes, "And such were," past tense, "some of you." You stopped it. "But you were washed," that's baptism. "You were sanctified." When we're baptized into Christ, our sins are washed away. Acts 22:16, we're set apart from sin. "You were sanctified." "You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." When we're baptized, we're set apart from sin and we're made right in the eyes of God. And it's by the authority of Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. The Holy Spirit reveals God's Word and tells us how that we can be washed, sanctified, and justified. So, they stopped it. There are people today that say, "No, I don't need to stop it. I was born this way. I'm just fulfilling." You were not born that way, number one. It's a choice that you made. It's a lust in your heart, Paul says. It's not what you were born with. You grow up and you make that choice. And number two, you can stop it. These people did, and so can you. We have really not a lot of time to look at much more. We'll pick this up again, Lord willing, next week, so please tune in. But one other passage that Paul speaks of in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 10, "For fornicators, the law was made for fornicators, for abusers of themselves with men," there's your homosexuals, "for men stealers, for liars, for false swearers, if there be anything contrary to sound doctrine." This behavior is contrary to the sound doctrine of God's Word. Abusers of themselves with men or homosexuals. 1 Timothy 1:10. That's another place where Paul speaks of homosexual behavior. Lord willing, when we come back next week, we'll keep looking at this subject, and we hope that it will be beneficial and helpful to everyone. Let's stand on God's Word on this matter or any other matter. We want to let the Bible speak and learn the truth on this subject. We're glad that you've joined us this morning. We hope that you'll have a good day, and we hope that you'll continue studying God's Word with us each and every Saturday on the Let the Bible Speak program. We hope that you'll have a good day.